Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome and thanks for joining us on this holiday program for the Radio Theater Channel's weekly download. This week, we're going to feature the Philco Radio Time. This is a Christmas show from 1947. We'll follow that by episode of Duffy's Tavern, and this is called Archie's in Poor Spirits from 1948.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
Welcoming you to Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter, his chorus and orchestra, the Charioteers, Skitch Henderson, and starring Bing Crosby. As is Bing's custom at Christmas time, he opens the program with Adeste Fidelis, and as usual, he will sing it first in Latin, then with the studio audience joining him, singing it in English.
Yes, Ken, I think it would be very fitting if our guests here would join in a chorus. Come all ye faithful.
Bing, I think it'd be nice if the home folks, the folks listening in all over the world, would join in too.
Oh, it would indeed. Gather round, folks, wherever you may be, and help us sing this eternal hymn.
Adeste Fidelis, Lady Triumph, Fontes, venite in Bethlehem. Natum videte, regem angelorum, venite adore.
Thank you very much. Skitch Henderson has jetted in for the holidays, and he now joins me in Mel Torme and Bob Wells' musical Christmas card, The Christmas Song. Art ready, Lyle?
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make this season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa is on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Imagine a Christmas program without jingle bells. It'd be like Christmas without mistletoe or something. We're prepared. We're not going to disappoint you because John Scott Trotter has assembled a bouncy version of this perennial favorite. Looking at my libretto here, I see there are parts for the Charioteers, the vocal group, Skitch, and oh yes, Crosby catches a cadenza or two. Matter of fact, I open the affair vocally. Roll 'em, John.
Jingle, 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 jingle,
jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle
jingle, 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 jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle, 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 jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Jingle, 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 jingle.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open
Esther, and that little number just fractured. The vocal group in the Charioteers threw in 8,482 jingles and never dropped a jingle. That kind of vocal work will give you a lower plate wobble, I guess. And now, here's the Philco man with a sprig or two of vocal holly. Hmm?
And a hunk of mistletoe to you, Bing, from your ever-loving sponsor.
Say, the goose really hangs high here tonight. Mm-hmm. What's your Christmas Eve message for 1947, kid?
Just the season's greetings to our friends everywhere on behalf of Philco, its distributors and dealers.
Wonderful. Let's parlay that with a Happy New Year for 1948.
Yes, from all of us on Philco Radio Time, sincere good wishes for the Yuletide and the coming year.
My, we're certainly full of greetings tonight, aren't we? Nothing to sell?
Not a thing.
Isn't this sensational? Oh, the halcyon days are here in radio, aren't they? Jolly Noel from us all. I guess White Christmas could stand one last delivery before the season ends.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. Where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, Christmases be
white. We now present Charles Tazwell's Christmas play, The Small One. A story for those who like Christmas and small donkeys. The same winter sun that dances on the winter snows up north sprawls indolently at ease in the thick white dust of El Camino del Norte, Old Mexico. A passerby, weary from the heat, has paused to rest in the cool, dripping shade of a pepper tree and has dropped off to sleep. He's suddenly awakened by the shrill voice of Pablo, aged 10, who stands with bare brown legs wide apart in the center of the road and bitterly addresses a small, discouraged, disreputable donkey.
A donkey. A donkey, you call yourself a stupid old fine animal with four stout legs, one on each corner. A most splendid tail to shoo off the flies. And a most handsome head stuck in the front to point the way you're going. I see. And what use do you make of this excellent equipment the good God has given you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You're a disgrace to all the donkeys of Mexico. Of all the world. Of all...
Pablo.
See? Oh, buenos dias. I did not know that...
What's all the commotion here, young man? What has the poor beast done that you should be so angry?
But nothing.
Well, then why are you...
Then that is all he wants to do ever. Here it is, but 2 days until Christmas, when a load of wood could be sold in the village to buy gifts and a candle. But does that matter to this one? No, he cares for nothing, but nothing.
Well, a donkey's a donkey, Pablo. They're all the same.
But why? Why of all beasts should a donkey be so stubborn?
Stubborn? Oh, no, Pablo. That's wrong.
But he's always...
I know. Everyone says they are. They curse them and they belabor their backs with sticks and they call them stupid, but... That's because they don't know the truth about little donkeys.
The truth?
Yes. It's really not stubbornness, but pride that makes small donkeys so, well, so aloof. No wind, sun, rain, pain, or adversity can touch them. You see, their pride is a shield against all the discomforts man or the elements can offer.
But what has a donkey to be proud of?
Oh, a great deal, Pablo. Bring your small beast over here in the shade. I'll explain.
Come along, Cupido.
Listen. Listen, Pablo, do you hear that? Only a small donkey can make that sound with his hoofs as he walks on the stones of the road. No other beast can do it. Sit down. Sit down, my son.
Si, senor.
Now, as I was saying, people are all wrong about small donkeys. A very long time ago, a great honor came to one of them, an honor so great that it lifted him and all his descendants to an exalted place. A place that you or I or all the world might envy. Ever since that time, every small donkey has been content to stand and drowse in the sun or the shade. For he alone of all animals, of all men, has already fulfilled his destiny.
His destiny,
yes,
senor?
Yes, you see, once upon a time there was a small donkey. He was 14 unhappy years old, and he had worked hard and long for at least twice 14 masters. He was battered and scarred, and he presented a most distressful appearance. His tail was not but a piece of limp rope unraveled down at the end. One of his ears stood straight up like a cactus plant, while the other hung drooping like a wilted cabbage leaf. His off hind leg had a decided stiffness.
What was his name?
They called him the Small One. His latest master was a woodcutter who also owned four younger... therefore stronger donkeys, but Small One was the special charge of the woodcutter's son. It was the boy who saw to it that Small One always had dry straw for his bed, and that the load of wood to be carried to the town was not too heavy for Small One's aging back. One day the woodcutter called his son to him and said,
"Son?"
"Yes, father?"
"I have a task for you to do in the town, son."
"A load of wood?"
"No. I wish you to take this donkey, the one you call the Small One, to a shop just inside the town gates. I have already spoken to the owner. He'll give you a piece of silver in exchange for the beast."
"You mean... Oh, you don't mean you're going to sell Small One?"
"He can no longer do his share of the work. Even when carrying half the load the other donkeys carry, his worn-out legs tremble and his sides work like a bellows."
"But he'll be strong as the others soon. Well, you wait and see. Give him a few weeks..."
"Enough. An old donkey is of little use. One day he might drop dead on us up in the hills, a total loss. Better to take a piece of silver and say good riddance to the beast. You will start at once. You hear?"
"Yes. Yes, father."
"The shop you will take him to is the second one on the left as you pass through the gates in town."
"The second? But that's the tanner's."
"And what of that? The Small One's hide is old, but it will make good leather."
"But he's been faithful. He's worked hard. He's done his best. And you can't sell him to the tanners to be killed."
"Come now. I'll have no tears. No crying over a miserable donkey. Harry, be off with you. And take good care not to lose that piece of silver on the way home."
And so, Pablo, the small boy and the small donkey began their sorrowful journey into town. The boy was heartbroken. He cried for a while. And then he tried desperately to think of some way to save his friend. The sound of the small one's hoofs on the road seemed to say over and over again, going to the Tanners, going to the Tanners. Suddenly it came to the boy's mind that there was a horse market in the town. If he could sell small one to some new and kind master, the little donkey would still live, and yet the father would also have his piece of silver. Well, it was early afternoon when the boy and the small one passed through the town gates and down the narrow, twisted streets to the marketplace.
And what about this fine animal, my friends? The mare whose sire will go famous that not the prince has ever set his back. Strong of limbs, strong of wind. Who'll start the bid at 50?
50!
50 it is. Who'll make it 51? Come, my friends. Are you going to let such an animal go for so paltry a sum?
Please, sir, would you like to buy a fine donkey?
What? What'd you say, boy?
This small donkey, he's for sale. I'm strong and willing. The price is very cheap, but one piece...
No, I don't want to buy a donkey. Be off with you.
60 is the bid. That's more like it. You are here 62. Will someone say 62? Come, my friend. You'll never again get such a fine horse for so little cash. Look at the proud head. See the flowing mane.
Excuse me, please. This small donkey's for sale. Would you
like... What is it you want, boy?
This fine animal, he can be bought for only one piece of silver. Isn't that a great saving? They're bidding 60 for the horse, and I know he can't do half the work a small one. Look, he's very...
Go away. Don't bother me.
Well, but he's...
Go away, or I'll take a stick to book you back. And now, my friend, I'm... 83! 83 is the bid! Do I hear more? No! 83 once! 83 twice! Sold for 83 pieces of silver!
You've made a fine bargain, my friend. Now, who has the next animal for sale? Step up!
Please, sir, would you try to sell this small donkey?
Go away, boy.
Oh, but he's a very valuable animal. He's not nearly as old as he looks. It's just because he's worked so hard. And here, the one that doesn't stand up straight as a donkey should. Well, that was the fault of a careless master, not his own. He eats very little, and he's terribly strong.
This is a horse market, boy. We've no time to waste on donkeys.
But a small donkey would take such a small time.
All right, my boy. If you insist. My friend! A great bargain I have to offer you. The proud owner terms it a donkey, but it appears to me to be an animated pile of shaking bones.
It's not.
You can see how the moths have been at the hide. And the tail, is it a tail? Or is it the stub of a broom worn out from sweeping the courtyard? A true museum piece, my friends, moldy with age. And loose in the joints.
He is not.
Ah, but it is not seemly to laugh, my friend, because the owner assures me that this animal is fine enough to share a stall with the king's horses.
Stop! He shan't make fun of him. Maybe he's not as handsome as your animals, but he's better. He's a lot better. Small one deserves to be in a king's stable.
All right, boy. Take your donkey and move along. We've got business to attend to. Hurry up. Off with you. Now that we've had our fun and disposed of the king's donkey... Well, I want to call your attention to these two fine Arabs.
And so the boy and the little beast left the marketplace, Pablo. The hours were slipping swiftly by, and the boy knew he must start soon for home, and that he must have the piece of silver to give to his father. He tried stopping people on the street. He inquired from door to door, but no one wanted to buy a small, tired donkey. The sun was sinking fast when he came at last back to the town gates, and he stood before the tanner's door. The boy's face was tear-streaked. The small one's head drooped so low that his limp ear almost touched the ground. The boy said goodbye to his small friend, and he asked forgiveness for what he had to do, and there was understanding in the little donkey's eyes. And then, just as the boy was lifting the latch of the tanner's door, a voice spoke to him.
My son?
Yes, sir?
I have a great favor to ask. Are you the owner of that small donkey?
Oh, yes, sir.
I have a long journey to make. My wife is not well. I have great need of a strong, gentle animal to carry her safely.
Well, Small One's very strong and very trustworthy.
Yes, I can see. Would you sell him to me?
Yes. Oh, yes, sir. But for one piece of silver.
One piece of silver?
Is that too much, sir?
Too much? Oh, no. A very reasonable price for such a beautiful animal.
He's not very beautiful, but he's good.
Yes, yes, I can see that. I'll be kind to him. I promise you that.
Well, then he'll work so hard to please you.
Here's your piece of silver. Come, Small One.
Do you mind if I come as far as the town gates? You see, the Small One and
I... Not at all, not at all. You'll want to say goodbye to him, of course. You can do that while I see my wife safely on his back. Here we are. Easy, Small One.
Goodbye, Small One. You must be very faithful, and it isn't forever, you know. When I grow up and earn many pieces of silver, I'll buy you back, and you'll have a fine stable and nothing to do at all but sleep and eat. Won't that be nice, Small One?
All right, my son. We're ready to go.
Late, traveler.
Yes, soldier?
I must make out the record before you can pass through the town gates. Who are you?
My name is Joseph.
And your wife?
They call her Mary.
Your destination?
Bethlehem.
Pass.
Come, Small One.
Goodbye, son.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Small One. Be gentle and sure of foot. And carry her safe to Bethlehem.
So Pablo, the Small One, traveled the many weary miles to Bethlehem. There in a stable which became a king's stable, he saw a king born, a king of men, of centuries, of life, of death. Yes, the Small One's tired old eyes saw the shepherds and the wise men who came to pay homage to his small master. And he heard the voices of angels rejoicing, singing the very same notes his hoofs had rung out on the stones of the road. And then it came to pass that all those who had laughed at his ragged coat, his limping gait, and his drooping ear, they all envied the Small One, for he was part of a great miracle. It was a long, long time ago, Pablo, my son, but today all small donkeys stand and they dream, especially at Christmas time. They dream of the Small One, Small One of Bethlehem.
This program is produced and transcribed in Hollywood.
From the ABC Radio Network, that was the Philco Radio Time starring Bing Crosby. Next up here on the program is an episode of Duffy's Tavern from the Christmas season of 1948. It appears that Archie is in poor spirits, and we're going to find out right now why.
It's Wednesday night, so we take you now to Duffy's Tavern, starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner. The program you're about to hear is brought to you with a wish from Bristol Myers that your Christmas may be merry and that the new year for all of us be a happy and a peaceful one.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you leave me? Eat Archie the man just bacon. Duffy ain't here. Hello, Duffy. Huh? Look, please don't give me that Merry Christmas stuff. I sound like I got up on the wrong side of the floor this morning. Look, Duffy, I had one eggnog. Just happened that I hit some bad nutmeg. Well, if you want to know, I'm a little sore about your gratuity for Christmas. That lousy Christmas card. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. P.S. After you read this, get back to work. Fine sentiment this time of the year. Well, after 9 years, I thought maybe I might get some little present. Some little luxury, some little thing I wouldn't think of getting for myself. Like money. Huh? Look, Duffy, someday you're going to leave this vale of tears. You're going to leave it with your pockets bulging with bills, but I'm warning you. Where you're going, you're going to find that paper money ain't going to last long. I leave you with that thought for today. Christmas. 7 days a week, 18 hours a day. I work my grindstone to the nose. What do I get? Nothing but gratitude. And very little of that.
Merry Christmas, Miss Arthur.
What's so merry about it, Eddie? Starvation wages, no dough to buy nothing.
Oh, you got a little dough.
Yeah, but how far will it take me with the present prices of economics? I mean, landlady sends me a notice. From the first of the year on, your apartment will be $9 a month. $9 for four lousy rooms.
Does that include bath?
Who knows? Never get to see the place the way I have to work around here, but does Duffy care?
Well, don't let it get you, Miss Archie. You see, this is the time of the year to forget your trouble.
Yeah.
Christmas is a time when you should be thinking about helping other people out.
Helping other people out, huh? When Gorilla Hogan got drunk and nasty here last night and started picking on me, did you help me out?
I couldn't. See, I was back in the kitchen cooking.
What takes a half an hour to cook?
With Gorilla Hogan drunk and nasty, a couple of 3-minute eggs.
That's what I'm talking about. When I'm in a fight and I need help, you disappear.
Yeah, but you always bragging about what a wonderful fighter you are.
You certainly picked the funniest times to start believing me. Yeah, give me that Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, boys.
Merry Christmas, Miss Duff.
Archie, I said Merry Christmas.
Are you kidding? What have I got to be merry about working for that cheapskate old man of yours?
Archie, you just don't know Papa. He really isn't cheap.
No, that's right. Once, in an outburst of generosity, he gave away his toenail clippings. What about the time he took your old lady on their honeymoon? Where did they go?
Niagara Falls.
That's what he told everybody, Niagara Falls. But what he really did, they stayed home and your old man let the water run in the bathtub while he showed your mother a box of shredded wheat. Tell me how cheap the guy is. Just a minute. Hello? Oh, just a second. It's your girlfriend, Vera Fogarty.
Oh, thanks. Hello, Vera. How did you do with Santa Claus? Okay, but no presents, huh? Well, you just can't have everything, Vera. What's on your mind? A dance? Where? At the Y? M or W? The YW, huh? Well, okay, Vera, I'll go. But this time you've got to lead. All right. Okay, I'll meet you at Schimmelbacher's. Well, so long, everybody. I got a heavy date. What are you going to do tonight, Archie?
Me? I think I'll just spend a quiet evening standing around disappointing pickpockets.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Arch. A Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, hello, Finnegan.
Aren't you going to wish me a Merry Christmas?
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Did you hang up your stocking?
Oh, no, Arch. I hung up my stocking last year, and it was a bum idea.
A bum idea?
Yeah, the blood kept rushing to me head.
What I meant was, did you get any presents for Christmas?
Oh, a few things, Archie. My mother gave me some building blocks. Monogrammed, of course. And my sister gave me a bottle of bubble bath.
Bubble bath?
Yeah, and is that stuff a fake?
What do you mean a fake?
I sat in a tub and took four drinks of it, and I couldn't even blow a single bubble. Well, I just dropped in to say hello. I gotta run along, Arch.
You gotta run along? Where are you going?
I'm going over to sing Christmas carols.
Oh, yeah? Where?
At Water McGuikes. Oh. You going over, Arch?
No, I'm not.
How come?
Didn't invite me.
Well, I'll be seeing you, Arch.
Finnegan, you mean you ain't gonna spend Christmas with me like you usually do?
Well, Arch, I thought you was going to McGuikes too, so I accepted. You ain't sure, are you?
No, no. Why should I be sore? Go ahead. Have a good time.
Well, Merry Christmas, Arch.
Merry Christmas, Clifton. Fine Christmas. No bonus. Your friends walk out on you. The next guy that says Merry Christmas to me, I'm going to punch him right in the nose. Ah, what's the use? Eddie.
Yes?
Eddie, turn on the radio, will you? Maybe it'll snap me out of this mood.
Okay.
Eddie, that's Christmas music. Take it off, will you? Get me something with some pep in it.
Okay, I'll try another station.
Eddie, please, I asked you, didn't I?
Well, Miss Archer, I don't think there's anything on the radio but Christmas music.
Well, keep pushing them buttons. There must be something else on the air. Eddie, what are you trying to do, drive me nuts?
But look bad, I'm running out of buttons.
Okay, forget about it. Well, I think we better lock up the place. It's getting late.
Okay. I'll go clean up the kitchen.
All right, do it. This Christmas music. I ain't got enough trouble at this time of the year. They got to put on music that makes them even sadder.
Hello there, Archie.
Huh? Hey, how did you get in here?
Walked in.
That's funny. I thought I just locked the door. We was closing up.
Oh, and maybe I'd better leave.
Listen, you said Archie. How did you know my name?
Well, I've heard about you.
Oh, well, I'm pretty well known around here. Will you have a little drink, bud?
No, I don't think so.
Go ahead, it's on the house.
On the house?
Sure, it's Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, huh?
Well, anyway, it's a day in December. What'll you have?
Well, maybe I'll take a glass of water.
Water here? You kidding? Here, mister, we got some pretty good wine here. At least have a glass of wine, huh? Look, I never seen you around here before. How did you happen to come in here to the tavern?
Oh, I was just walking around, saw the lights, thought I'd drop in. You don't think much of Christmas, do you, Archie?
Oh, you got me wrong. I love it. I wouldn't be without it. Good old Christmas. The time of the year when after you work for a guy for 9 years and knock your brains out, he says to you, Merry Christmas, Archie. The time when even your closest friend walks out on you.
Well, maybe there's another side to Christmas.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Well, like the look on a kid's face when he sees what Santa Claus has left in his stocking.
Uh-huh.
Or like the feeling in a man's heart when his family's around him on Christmas Eve. You see, Christmas isn't a thing you can reach out and touch, Archie. It's a thing inside us.
Look, bud, I can see you've been running around with a different class of people. Around this neighborhood, every guy is out for himself.
Oh, I don't know. I think this neighborhood and the people are pretty much the same as most others.
Oh, I know he's a stranger.
Well, I could be wrong. Why don't you and I take a little walk?
You mean you want to see for yourself?
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little fresh air will do you good, Archie.
Fresh air? Are you inferring this joint as an incinerator?
Well, no.
Well, it is. Come on, let's go. Hey, Eddie, keep an eye on the joint, will you? Listen to that, will you? Not only don't you only get it over the radio, you can't even walk along a public street with that belting it at you.
I kind of like it.
You like it? Well, everybody to his own poison. Did you ever listen to the words of that tune?
Did you?
I should. I had to listen to them all day. All is calm, all is bright. How do you like that? The world is a mess. Everybody has his hand in the other guy's pocket, but don't make no difference to the guy that wrote that song. To him, all is bright.
Well, maybe the guy that wrote that song was thinking about something in men's hearts. Something that shines a little brighter on a day like this. Didn't you ever sing Christmas carols, Archie?
Oh, yeah. Christmas carols, sure. When I was a punk kid and I didn't know no better. But you have to grow up someday.
Now, that's the trouble with a lot of us. Maybe we're not growing up. Maybe we're just losing track of things that matter.
Like what?
Oh, things like faith, tolerance, human kindness.
That's nice. And where does one find them things?
You don't find them, Archie. You give them. And it's a funny thing. The more you give, the more you have. Say, why don't we drop in over there?
Huh?
Across the street.
Across the street? That's a church.
Yeah, I know. Why don't we drop in for a second?
Into a church?
Why not?
But I wouldn't know how to act.
You, don't go to church, huh?
Well, no, I'm not rapping it, you know. It's just that there's two types of guys when it comes to going to church. There's them that doesn't, them that don't. I happen to be the type that don't.
Well, now, why don't you just drop in with me for a second, hmm?
Well, I guess if I go with somebody else, it won't count against me. Funny thing, though, you know, to take a look at you, I wouldn't figure that you was the religious type.
No?
No, but that's what I say. You never can tell about people. Okay, let us go in.
Nice in here, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's kind of quiet.
Yeah, I guess this is one of the few places left where you can find peace and quiet.
That's what I can't understand. People just come in here and they sit. They think they just sit. They don't do nothing.
Oh, yes, they do. They pray, meditate. Some of them even come in here to keep warm.
Couldn't they do that just as well at home?
Maybe some of them don't have a home.
You see? That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's a pretty tough world.
It'd be tougher if they didn't have a place like this to come to. Didn't you ever pray, Archie?
Well, sure, when I was a kid. What was that prayer again they learned us? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy did. Well, you know the thing I mean. But look, mister, please, leave us get out of here and begin to get the heebie-jeebies.
All right.
Look, just a second, bud.
What are you doing?
Well, the sign says help the poor, don't it?
I thought you believed in everybody helping themselves.
Well, I do, but tonight maybe I'm a little superstitious.
Or maybe it's just because it's Christmas.
Look, mister, please, don't start with that peace on earth stuff, will you? I told you I'd take you around, show you the neighborhood and what it's really like now. Please, let's keep it that way.
Get your Christmas night edition here, paper.
Just a minute, I want to pick up a paper.
A paper?
Yeah, that crippled kid there. Nice kid, Jimmy Turner.
Crippled, huh?
Yeah, he ain't walked in years, but he's always got a smile for everybody, and I like to help him out once in a while.
Paper, read all about it. Get your paper.
Hiya, Jimmy.
Hello, Archie. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, kid.
Well, Jimmy, it's a little tough not being able to walk, isn't it?
I ain't kicking. I can yell. That's all I need for this racket.
What'd you get for Christmas, Jimmy?
Nothing much. But it's okay. I got my Christmas present last summer.
Last summer?
Yeah. One of my customers took me up to the Yankee Stadium to see the Yanks play.
You like the Yanks, Jimmy?
Like them. Did you ever see that DiMaggio play ball?
Oh, give me a paper, son.
Okay, mister. Here you are. Latest edition.
Thanks, kid. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, mister.
You were talking about Joe DiMaggio, Jimmy.
Oh, boy, what a ball player. That DiMaggio's the greatest outfielder in the world. And the way that guy can pull him.
Jimmy, do you know who that was who bought the paper just now?
Who?
That was Joe DiMaggio.
You're kidding.
No, look at him. He just stopped there by that streetlight.
Joe DiMaggio? You mean Joe bought a paper from me and I didn't even recognize him?
Wait a minute. Maybe I can get him to come back. Hey, DiMaggio. Hey, DiMaggio. Hey, you.
You calling me?
Yes. You know, you've got quite an admirer in that crippled newsboy over there.
Me?
Yeah. Now, look. You're Joe DiMaggio. And if that kid could shake hands with you, it'd be the best Christmas present he ever got. Would you do it?
Of course I will. Be glad to. Come on, let's go over to him.
No, just a minute. Let him walk over to you.
But, mister, I told you the kid can't walk.
Well, let's find out, Archie. Oh, Jimmy. Joe DiMaggio wants to shake hands with you.
Yeah, come on, Jimmy. Come on over and shake hands.
But, gee, Joe, don't you see? I can't.
Come on, Jimmy.
Joe, I'm walking. Maj, you see what I'm doing to Maj? I'm walking.
I can't understand it. It's positively incredible.
What's the matter?
That kid back there, I seen him sitting in that corner like that for the past 6 years, and tonight the kid is walking.
Maybe he could have walked all the time.
No, he couldn't. You did it. You did it by telling him that was Joe DiMaggio.
It was.
Now, look, you can fool a kid, but don't try to fool me. It couldn't have been DiMaggio.
No?
Certainly not. I just read in the papers this morning DiMaggio was spending Christmas with his family in San Francisco. Hey, look, this thing is getting a little weird.
Nice town, San Francisco.
Huh? Oh, I ain't never been that far west. San Francisco, your hometown?
No.
Where are you from?
I'm from the east.
The east? What town?
A small town called Bethlehem.
Bethlehem, huh? Hey, you know anybody in Allentown?
I might.
A guy by the name of Lou Grant?
Lou Grant? Does he run a bar and grill on Front Street?
Yeah, that's the guy. Well, you sure get around, don't you? What are you, one of them traveling salesmen or something?
Well, I guess you might call me that. Well, say, what's the excitement? What's the crowd doing in front of that hotel?
Where? Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, lady, what's going on here?
That man up there on the ledge.
Where?
Up there on the window ledge of the hotel. He says he's going to jump at midnight.
Why?
I don't know. I guess he's crazy. He says he never wants to see another Christmas.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you can hardly blame the guy. Now, wait. There goes the chimes. Must be 11:45. Let me check my watch here. Yeah, the guy's got exactly 15 minutes before he jumps. Let's stick around.
Are you sure of the time?
Well, certainly. I always set my watch by them chimes.
Well, how long has he been up there?
Oh, for hours. The police have been trying to find his wife.
His wife?
Yes. They think maybe if they found her, she could talk him out of it.
Come on, Archie.
Where are you going?
I'd like to talk to that fellow.
Are you crazy? They ain't gonna let you in that hotel. Look at the cops guarding the doorway. Besides, you can't do nothing with a guy like that. He's nuts.
I'd like to talk to him anyway.
Okay, have it your way. We'll tell the cops we live in a hotel. But I better go along with you.
Hey, wait a minute, you. Where do you think you're going?
We live here. Me and me friend here was just going up to our suite.
You and what friend?
That guy there. That guy that just walked in.
Nobody walked in this hotel, bud. And nobody's gonna walk in.
Okay, so nobody walked in. What am I gonna do, argue with you? I'm telling you, I just come in with the guy.
Look, son, why don't you go home and sleep it off?
Yeah.
Listen, you, don't come near or try to grab me. If you do, I'll jump.
I'm not going to grab you. I just came to talk to you. To see if maybe I could change your mind.
It's too late to change my mind. As soon as those chimes ring, I'm jumping. I'm not afraid to die.
Maybe you're afraid to live. A lot of people are.
What have I got to live for?
What have any of us got to live for? Look at those people down there on the street, hundreds of them, waiting for a ray of hope, a sign of courage in this frightened world. What you're doing might extinguish the last spark of faith in many of their tired hearts.
Their tired hearts. At least their wives are with them at Christmas. Come on, chimes, ring. Ring. Let's get it over with.
Your wife means a lot to you, doesn't she?
If she didn't, do you think I'd be up here? I haven't had one peaceful moment since she left me.
Why did she leave you?
Because I was a fool. Because I... But it's too late to think of that. Oh, why don't those chimes ring out and get it over with? What's slowing them up?
Nothing's slowing them up. It's just that in these last moments, the seconds seem like years.
Paul? Paul?
Anne?
Yes, darling, it's me.
Oh, Anne.
Paul.
Thank God you've come back.
My darling.
Those chimes. I was going to jump when I heard that.
Yes, I know. I know. I was afraid I was too late. Thank God I got here in time.
Hello, Archie. Glad I found you again.
Hey, it's you. How did you do it, mister? How'd you stop that guy from jumping?
Just talked to him till his wife came. She just got there in time.
Yeah. Funny how she just got there in time, wasn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, it happens I was looking at my watch, timing it out to see when the guy was gonna jump.
So?
Them chimes rang 4 minutes late.
Maybe your watch is slow.
Oh, no, it ain't. Remember, I checked it with the chimes a little while ago, and them bells has never been wrong. Look, come on. Leave us get out of here. I'm getting back to the tavern. This is a little too spooky for me.
Okay, we'll take a cab. There's an empty one.
Where to, fellas?
We want to go to Duffy's Tavern, quick.
Okay. How about a little music?
Wait a minute. There it is. Driver, please. Take that thing off of there, will you? Get something else.
Okay.
Oh, what's the use? Leave it on there. Look, mister.
Yeah?
You know something? You stay pretty calm considering all the crazy things that have been happening tonight. It's a little weird. First the newsboy. Then the guy on the window ledge.
Well, we all have our troubles, Archie. We all get off the track once in a while.
We just need something bigger than ourselves to steer us straight.
You mean something like religion?
Call it that. Call it human kindness, tolerance, understanding.
I begin to see what you mean. Hey, driver, watch out for that guy. Look, don't worry, taxi, it wasn't your fault. The guy walked right out in front of you.
Yeah. Did you see him, mister? He walked right out in front of me.
Well, let's see how badly he's hurt.
Hey, we better call a cop.
Hey, here comes a cop now.
All right. Stand back. Give the poor devil a chance. Now, what happened here?
Well, the guy walked right out in front of the cab.
Yeah, the driver's right, officer. It wasn't a taxi's fault. We was riding along, and all of a sudden, this guy stepped right out in front of the cab. Like he was blind.
Hey, wait a minute. He is a blind man. There's his cane there.
Here, maybe I can help him.
Wait a minute, you. Take your hands off him. It's against the law. Wait till the ambulance gets here.
Against the law to help someone?
You heard me. You never know when you're doing them more harm than good.
All right, officer, just as you say.
Hey, wait a minute. Look, the guy's getting up.
What's going on?
What hit me? The crowd. The noise. I was all confused. Tell me, what? Oh, wait. Wait a minute. Lights. And faces. I can see. I can see.
Easy now, mister. You'd better not try to get up.
I'm all right, I tell you. And I can see. For the first time since Okinawa, I can see.
I didn't mean to hit you, bud.
You didn't mean to hit him. You done him a favor. The guy says he can see. Hey, the shock must have given back his sight.
No. No, it wasn't that. Someone touched me. I felt a cool hand. And the minute he touched me, I was all right. Where is he?
Come on, Archie, let's go. We've done all we can.
Well, it certainly is good to be back in a tavern again. I think we'd better have a little drink, though. You want to finish your wine, Bud?
No, thanks.
You know something? I'm all mixed up.
Mixed up?
Yeah, about this Christmas stuff.
Well, you see, Archie, as I said, Christmas isn't just a date on a calendar. Or a wreath in a window or a song. It's something in men's hearts. They can let it die or keep it in their hearts the year round.
365 days of Christmas. You know, it's a funny thing. If you'd said that to me a little while ago, I'd have laughed in your face. But now, I don't know. Wait a second. I'd like to turn on the radio a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, that's a good one. I wonder what happened to that silent night. What do you think of this? All night long, they played that same tune and it drove me nuts. Now, all of a sudden, I got a feeling I'd kind of like to hear it again.
Mr. Archer.
Huh? What is it, Eddie?
I finally got you some dance music on the radio.
Eddie, I don't want no dance music. Turn it off, will you?
I wish you'd make up your mind.
Look, mister. Until you walked in here today, I... Hey, Eddie. Eddie, what happened to that guy I was talking to?
Well, nobody talking to you.
You're nuts. He was standing here at the bar. He came in with me.
Mr. Archer, please. There's nobody here.
No? Maybe it was all... Eddie, you sure that there was nobody here?
No. Must have been seeing things.
Maybe you're right, but wait a minute. This glass of wine here. The glass is half empty.
What?
Nothing, Eddie, nothing. Just leave me alone for a little while, will you?
Okay. Good night, Miss Archer.
Good night, Eddie. Eddie?
Yeah?
Merry Christmas.
Oh, thanks, Miss Archer. Merry Christmas to you, sir. Good night.
Night. Christmas. Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
To you with every good wish for a very merry, a very happy Christmas. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.